Hey everybody, welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire.
This is my really good friend Jeff, who really likes lemonade.
I do like lemonade. This is my friend James, he likes iced tea. Let me show you why I like lemonade. You see that? You see that shirt?
Oh gosh.
I know, it's, making lemonade. It's a COVID shirt.
That's apropos.
Moving on. Well, James and I were talking about, the kind of stuff we want to share and the kind of things we find interesting about talking about each other. And one of those things is what makes a solo great. It's so subjective, right? Yet, over the years, we point at solos that hang together. They're classic for some reason. They sort of captured people's attention. And I thought it might be worth talking about it. I'd love to hear what James has to say about it. James, what's your thought on this idea?
You know, I've been thinking about this for a while, off and on. And to me, what makes a solo great is a couple things. And I'll kind of be a little philosophical about this. I think it's really important if you're trying to construct a great solo or if you're listening to identify if a solo is great. A couple things. That solo is going to leave you wanting more, right? So knowing when to end, taking the right amount of choruses, and there's no way for me to demonstrate that here, because if I take 7 or 8 choruses, that might be just fine. That might be enough. But you've got to have the ability to know when you're in that last chorus. I'm not saying you need to plan ahead. In fact, I would discourage people from doing that, because you don't want to not be in the moment. But having a good intuition about when it's time to stop is really important.
And that's sort of the context of what happened before you, what's coming next. Are you the 14th soloist? Maybe the solo needs to be a little shorter, right? That's a great,
Of it comes down to etiquette and being a good partner on the bandstand. So yeah, knowing when to stop is important. And if there's a couple solos come to mind. One that's always been really important to me, and I know I talk a lot about trumpet players being that I've owned one of these things, Freddie Hubbard's solo on Birdlike from Ready for Freddie is, I think, just one of the pinnacles of great solos. And Freddie takes a lot of choruses in that solo. I can't remember how many it is. It's a lot, right? But it doesn't ever feel like too much. And when he plays... like, that feels final to me, right? So, it's at the end of how many choruses, and he's able to end with a really beautiful, cogent idea. It just puts a nice little bow on it. So, knowing when to stop, and having an ending that sounds and is deliberate. And when I notice that when I'm relatively happy with a solo that I've played, I usually get out of the ending, and I usually think, you got out of that. Okay, James. I don't remember how I started it, but I know, like, did I slide into home plate and was I safe? Yes. Great. I'm good. So,
yep. That's awesome.
Yeah. So those are two kind of, like, must-haves for me if a solo is going to be great. I'm curious to hear what you think about all that.
Man, well, I mean, first of all, I love your example. So everybody needs to stop, not listen to Jeff, and listen to that Freddie Hubbard solo. Like, yeah, that's a work of art, right? And so I love this idea about assigning people, you know, to sort of start valuing what they like in a solo. Everybody out there, whether they're a beginning jazz musician or a pro, is allowed to have what they think is a good solo, right? So it is individual and subjective. I love the way you put it. And actually, speaking of what makes a great solo, we're here to try to help you make great solos. So Jazzwire is actually sponsoring 4 workshops coming up, the 4 Thursdays in October. Now, we did 20 of these last year. In the previous year, we did 20 of these. These are the last 4 of the year for this year. So October 7th, October 14th, October 21st, October 28th, all Thursdays. And they're online. So we have people attending from all around the world, and we limit them to 15 people each so we can really have a conversation. It's not like a YouTube video like this. It is literally getting together for 75 minutes and working together.
That's cool.
It's great. October 7th, we're doing how to analyze transcriptions. We're looking at a Sonny Stitt solo. And really, once you have a transcription, what do you do with it? People tell you to do transcriptions, but then what? Then what is a big deal, right? On the 14th, there's been a lot of talk inside Jazz Wire about Coltrane pentatonics, this interesting minor pentatonic. And we're going to talk about what it is, where you would use it, and lots of applications. So that's going to be pretty slick. Jerry Bergonzi calls it the minor 7 flat 5 pentatonic. Sounds like a really squirrely inside thing, but it's really quite usable. On October 21st, we're going to talk about gospel and the blues, that sound and that flavor. And so we're going to look at Work Song, we're going to look at Monin, we're going to look at Sister Sadie, and try to figure out, is there something we can talk about there? It's an emotion, it's a vibe, it's, you know, it's all those things, but there's some actionable stuff we can talk about. Then on October 28th, we're going to talk about fluidity. All these adult amateurs we're talking to, James, getting our fingers moving in time. And our fingers don't move as quickly as they did when we were younger, and there's arthritis, and there's limited motion. I have helped so many people through that stuff find real fluidity and really get to sound like a true jazz musician. So we're going to look at some really tangible ways to start, get that fluidity into our playing. And it starts with our brains, frankly. Mm. It rarely is a finger thing. It's a brain thing. So those four workshops, I hope you're interested. They're $35 each. Or if you can't attend in real time, the recordings are $20 each. So they're very affordable. Go to the link down here, Schedulista, and you can sign up and get registered immediately. Only 15 spots for each workshop.
Oh, man,
so,
only 15?
I
kind of want to take some money out of J&J Petty Cash and come. But all right, only 15, that's fine. Okay, that's fine.
So you have the J&J Petty Cash. I was wondering where that jar was.
Yeah, when you were at your conference, I took it.
Yeah, I got it. The hairdryer conference.
That's it.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Let me talk now, man.
Okay.
Be quiet.
Yes, sir.
All right. What makes a solo great? Well, you know, the first thing I thought of was energy and feel. Like, compelling. It makes me lean forward in my seat. So that's something I thought about, but I really wanted to have something actionable in, you know, in the video too. But that idea of energy and feel. And again, is that something we can teach? Do we have to be born with it? I don't think so. We can work on mm-hmm. our time.
Yeah.
Swing and groove comes from technique. We can hone our technique a little bit. Articulation, tone, playing with an airstream that has energy to it. There's a lot of things we can actually do to get there. So to me, that's probably the biggest thing. But what I wanted to talk about inside Jazzwire this week, I was hearing a lot of people sounding really good on the tune we're working on, which is All of Me this week. People playing really legit solos, but it's not quite what I would say. It's not a great solo yet. What do we do? And one of my favorite things is to have people start playing more motivically. Don't just play a parade of correct notes. Those are jazz-like sounds, but maybe not quite jazz, right? So this idea of playing motivically. And it's literally as easy as play two notes and stop. Now play those two notes again. Maybe it's three notes. Maybe it's whatever, right? But a short idea, and do not go past that idea. The first thing out of your instrument is your motif for the solo. So let me do this. I'm going to play a couple choruses of blues, and I'm going to play one idea that I hope is obvious enough that you can hear what the idea is. I don't know what it is yet, but we'll see. And I'm going to try to keep that idea going for 12 measures. And then I'll play a second chorus. I'll pick some other idea. And I hope it's going to be obvious. But even if it's not tremendously obvious to everybody all the time, it's an organizing thing going on in my head. So it helps me make better music. Is this going to be a great solo? I don't know. Is it going to compete with Freddie Hubbard? Definitely not. but it's a way for us to move ahead. So check it out. James, you can let me know how close this is.
Okay,
to
I will.
Here we go. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, I think it's so cool because I actually really could hear that you had that organizing principle happening. And your solos always sound very logical and beautiful. I mean, they really do. I love your playing. But just knowing that you had that intentionally sort of in the front of your mind, yeah, it really propelled things. In two choruses, I could really sense that it was propelling. And it makes me think now of, like, other times, the few times we've gotten to play together live, which has been so long ago. It's one of the first things I really dug about your playing, which is you've got a really unique ability, I think, to push a solo forward from an energy standpoint and be really creative and sort of... I never feel like you're limited, but you always are in control. And sometimes, for me, I feel like if I'm in a lot of control, I'm not able to get into that next gear of energy, and you're really good at that. So that was cool to get that little window into how you do that.
Oh, that's cool. You know, for me, sort of having that idea to take with me is something that helps me build energy. So I could see how that might weigh somebody down. For me, it makes me feel comfortable that I've got something to hang my hat on. So for instance, that second chorus, I think I did sort of a chromatic thing, and it wasn't always the same chromatic passing note, you know, sort of from the third to the fifth is how I started, something like that. And it wasn't the same each time, but just chromatic-ish. Yeah. It was just a shape, right? It wasn't even a motif that we would develop in a classical sense, but it was a shape or a texture, and that counts, right? So yeah. So if that's helpful to people, I think it's a way that I've helped a lot of students get to the next level. And of course, if we go up enough levels, we're great. So just kind of keep doing that, keep moving up those levels, and that's how we head that direction.
Yeah.
So man, I'm excited to go listen to some Freddie Hubbard now, and I want to make sure everybody thinks about signing up for one or all four of these workshops. There's a good price break if you sign up for all four. Again, there's only 15 spots, so I hope you're going to join us for one of these four Jazzwire workshops in October. You guys, thank you very much. James, man, good to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Welcome back.
All right, brother.
See y'all.
Take care.
Peace.